B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Good morning and welcome in, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch with you, Sam Wilson. I want to be excited with the rest of the world, but I don't get a buzz. Like, I saw people were happy about it.
What?
In all seriousness. Like, here's how I feel about Zach Wheeler. I'm happy they signed Zach Wheeler, but I don't have that excitement that they signed Zach Wheeler. Like, are you excited that Zach Wheeler's here, Jamie?
Yes.
You're excited that Zach Wheeler's here?
Yes.
Bob, are you excited Zach Wheeler's going to be pitching for the Phillies?
I was at your ho-humness at first, but then I really started to read up on him, and yes.
He's really good.
Now I've reached excited level, yes.
He's good. He's really good.
Yeah.
You're comparing your excitement to the excitement that would be Gerrit Cole or Steven Strasburg.
That's the blow me away. Oh my God, look what they got, you know, proven commodities, all this stuff, right? But with Zach Wheeler, I'm happy. I'm like, yeah, good job. Way to be. What else you got? When you look at two other playoff teams in your division, and then you look at a World Series champion in your division, I feel like I'm standing on a ship and it's sinking, and the Phillies like, hey, here's a bucket. And I'm like, cool, can we plug the hole? Like, as of right now, I'm happy that he's here. The Phillies did the right thing. Thank you to the Phillies for spending $118 million on Zach Wheeler, a very good pitcher, a flat-out incredible pitcher in the second half of the season. What else you got? I feel like there's a lot of work to be done. I feel like we're eating an elephant and we just took the first bite. Like, let's keep going here.
Well, you can't finish it unless you get that first bite, though.
That's true. That's why I'm happy they did this. They're not just sitting there going,
fine. You're happy. I misunderstood. Yeah. I thought you were just yawning.
No,
happy,
I'm not yawning.
But not excited.
If you're asking me pass, fail, pass. If you're asking me about this isolated deal, letter grade, I'm like, okay, yeah, it's an A. It's a good move. Good way to be. You got to be here, right? But if you're asking me, hey, you're excited? I'm like, I'm not excited. I need to see a lot more. I'm not excited for the Phillies season. See, I see a move that makes you excited as, this is going to make things happen this year. And it's a really good move. There's a lot of other work to be done.
Yeah, no question.
But I think that's why he was the choice. Because I think if you get a Gerrit Cole or
There's nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
So I think this is... I hate to say it's comparatively bargain shopping to fill more holes. So I do think you're going to get satisfied with the next moves that are coming.
When we talked to Matt Klentak, a month ago, one of my things was, big takeaway was that there's going to be no huge acquisition. It wasn't going to be Gerrit Cole. It's not going to be Steven Strasburg. It might have been Cole Hamels, and it might have been Zach Wheeler. And it is Zach Wheeler, and I'm happy that it's Zach Wheeler. But you're looking up at a big mountain that you have to climb here, to use a third analogy to describe how I feel about this. But when you do have, I think it's mostly because I look in this division and I see the other teams that have made the playoffs in the last 2 years, in the last year, just from this division. And then I see a team like the Nationals, who you supposedly took their best player from, and they win a World Series. That maybe is what kind of dulls my expectation, dulls my would-be excitement. The fact that you still have so much stuff you have to do to this baseball team and big decisions to make. And then there's also the anticipation of seeing if you get a guy like Spencer Howard up here at the major league level this year. Seeing if you get a guy like Alec Boehm up here at the major league level this year. All that is really what I am waiting for. This was a great first step, it feels like. You have other things you have to do on this baseball team. Ultimately, I think they did the right thing in just throwing this money at this type of pitcher. Not because it's necessarily a bargain, but it allows you to, again, look at those other holes that you have on this team that I've just mentioned, and you got to be able to plug those holes. Because this move will allow you to do that.
Yeah, this could have been a move that was done, say, at the end of kind of free agency time, and you would have been like, all right, good. That, you know, you plugged the hole. Mm-hmm. That's really good. So you might have liked it better then than you do now. You know what I mean? This is kind of a back-end move that you're like, all right, now everything fell into place. But you kind of did the back-end at the front end. Now you have to make the bigger moves, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. Now it comes time for the splash. But I don't know what the splash...
Okay, there you go.
I don't know what the splash... Like, this is a great jump in, I guess. I don't know. But when it comes to everything else, that's what I'm looking at. I'm like, all right, The rest of the house needs to be painted.
I think
that's four analogies.
I think do you paint houses? I heard you paint
houses. That's why it's on my brain.
Yeah. I think the big splash is going to be quantity, if that makes sense. Yeah. I think there's possibly going to be, honestly, 6 to 7 new Phillies coming in here. None are going to be the $300 million guy because that was last year. Now it's all about filling those holes in the ship. Mm. We're taking on water here pretty quickly. So I think the splash is quantity.
Okay, it's going to be multiple cannonballs.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's set a record for how many analogies we do. Well, like I that's just that's my reaction to it. Then I was in all honesty, I'm thinking, did Cole Hamels have anything to do with my reaction to Zach Wheeler?
It's gross, but would you have paid that?
Yes. You know
really?
Why? Yeah, you know why? He's a lefty. It's 1 year.
Okay.
I wouldn't have given him a 3-year deal, and essentially I would trade Cesar Hernandez and Michael Franco for Cole Hamels.
I am a firm believer there are no bad 1-year deals.
Yeah.
So I hear you, but
I would have done that deal.
I hear you. What if it's Josh Donaldson? You know what I mean? Like, what if they spend that $18 million on him?
Or what if you even go for $13, $12 million 1 year with a Dallas Keuchel?
That sounds nice. Yeah, okay, let's party. Sure. But it didn't happen.
Not yet,
sure. Like, for instance, I was upset they didn't get Cole Hamels. I would have paid that money.
I was going to ask you that question when you came out. I was going to say, does Cole Hamels have something to do with this?
And I'm trying to just compartmentalize, right? And I can't compartmentalize. Looking at yesterday, I was upset that they didn't go get Cole, because I'm looking at it and going, 18 million for Cole for 1 year? Yeah, I'd have done that. The 1 year deal? Yeah, I would have done that. Huh. If it would have been 18, whatever. If it would have been like $45 million for 3 years or whatever it might have been, I would have been like, no, I'm not investing in a guy that's going to be 36 years old. Did have some injury issues last year, but it hasn't been a huge concern. And he's a lefty, so he could probably pitch till he's 45, whatever it might be. But with Cole Hamels, yeah, it did kind of buzzkill it early for me. Then they got Zach Wheeler. I said, all right, they're doing something. What else you got? So maybe, this is what we're going to explore when it comes to this deal with our Twitter poll today. I'm going to ask people, are you excited? Are you happy? Or are you meh? That'll be the third option.
I'm excited.
I know you're excited. Trey, do you see him beaming? He's like beaming with excitement over Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, I see.
He's really good on you.
And one of the reasons why I think JT Realmuto is really going to make him a better pitcher.
Okay. All right. Hopefully he takes that second half stats.
1.85 ERA in September, Mark.
Bump
just
it
think
up,
about
just
that.
Bump it up a little bit.
It's literally the opposite of the rest of the rotation.
That's true.
Everybody else goes the other way. He goes down.
Can I get to a little smidgen of that in the first half of the season? Just a little. I'm only asking for
you
a smidgen.
You will. Just prepare yourself. You will see probably 5 to 6 stinkers from him over the course of the year.
Oh, yeah. And I even made this joke yesterday, but okay, good. So we can complain about the deal in the early goings of the season. April, May, June. We'll be like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
And then I spent that money on him. Should have got Cole Hamels.
And then August and September, it'll be crickets.
Starts heating up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope that's how it works out. But yeah, I'm happy for the deal. It's a step in the right direction for this Phillies team. What makes you excited the most about it is that you have Aaron Nola and then you have Zach Wheeler, or you have Zach Wheeler and then you have Aaron Nola. Depending on how the season starts out, most likely Nola and then you have Wheeler. And then
Mr. Typing.
The great experiment then after that, Zach Eflin and all that stuff. So we'll talk about that deal today. We do have a big basketball show today. I'm very excited. Now, you're talking about excitement. I'm excited to talk to this man because I'm excited about this guy twofold. Aaron McKee will join the show at 8 o'clock today to talk about those Temple Owls men's basketball. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about some 76ers with Aaron McKee at 8 o'clock. A lot to get into there. Remember last year, Aaron McKee talked to us about those 25 games to judge the starting five of the 76ers?
Yeah.
And that included a fellow by the name of Markelle Fultz. 25 games. That didn't work out so well. Still a second-round playoff bounce. It'll bounce out in the second round. Jimmy Butler ended up coming to Philadelphia. Tobias Harris later before the trade deadline and all that. But right now, we see no moves imminent with the Sixers. They're sticking with what they have right here because they put the work in the offseason. I want to know what Aaron's seeing from this team so far at the professional level, his former team, the 76ers. See how long it's going to take for these guys to start to come together. Because I will say this. The other night against Utah, I thought I saw this team really start to gel. And that doesn't even, they didn't even have Josh Richardson on the floor.
Yeah.
But what they did have was a guy named Matisse Thybulle out there on the floor for about, what, 25 minutes? That guy just looks like a pro. And we can't say it enough about him when it comes to his defense. We can't say enough about him when it comes to how he approaches the game mentally and apparently how he hands out water at practice. So that's great. So I want to talk to Aaron McKee and get his thoughts on that. 8:30, we're going to talk to Matt Gelb of The Athletic. He's got some great stories out there on Zach Wheeler. Got some great stories out there as to what the Phillies could be doing next. One of those names, Jamie, the aforementioned Josh Donaldson. We'll see what comes of that.
Plenty more moves. They have a lot of options.
Plenty of moves to be made here.
Yeah.
I don't want to see them go crazy on a third baseman. I still don't think they go big money on filling holes on the in the infield.
I think Didi's coming.
Yeah, I hate to be a wet blanket. I'm not a big Didi guy.
You're out on Didi?
I'm out on Didi.
Yeah, I do the.
I don't get the allure of Didi Gregorius. I know a lot of people look at Joe Girardi and they go, there's the connection. They like each other. I'm like, great. I don't care if they've never met. In all honesty, when I look at a guy like Didi Gregorius, I look at a guy who struggles to get on base, a guy who fluctuates with his batting average, and he's a good fielder?
Who has elbow problems.
Like, I'll bang down the door for Didi Gregorius, plus he's another soon-to-be 30-year-old infielder. So I don't.
At least.
I'm not banging the door down.
Yeah, well, we know.
Make a fine point. So we talked to Matt Gelb about that, and then Mark Jackson will join us at 9 o'clock. Trey, you ever get that jersey?
No.
What's the deal there?
I don't know.
His mother wants a signed Trey Thomas jersey that he has.
It's incumbent upon Mark to get the jersey to Trey. Trey is not at fault here.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm not at fault.
That's I'm asking a question. I'm right. Not accusing
you're
anybody.
I didn't say you were.
I'm seeing more than I do.
Yeah, you're the middleman.
That is true.
This is on you, actually.
It's your fault.
Yeah, actually, it is.
Yeah,
no, Mark. Stop.
Be better.
What do I got to do? Just tell me right now what I got
to
do.
Well,
just
tell Mark today to bring it in next time you guys are both in studio together.
Bam. There you go.
Oof. That sounds really difficult. I don't know if I can do it.
I'll ask him for you, all right?
I can just text him.
I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it.
Text the man, basically. So we'll talk to Mark Jackson about this squad at 9 o'clock. I saw something yesterday that I still can't quite wrap my head around this actually happened. Trey, have you ever been at a restaurant or anywhere and somebody spills something on you?
No.
The Jason Kelce video?
He should get a Nobel Prize or something.
Yeah, he might be the most peaceful man in the. I don't know if should our center be that peaceful.
Jeez.
I'm just kidding.
He's lost that fight. Caught him. Did you see this video, Trey?
No, I haven't.
Jason Kelce's doing a charity event for his brother Travis.
Uh-huh.
And Adam Lefko, is that what I'm sorry?
Yes.
Bleacher Report. He does great stuff.
He's a Philly guy.
And he's out there doing an event with Travis Kelce, and Jason Kelce comes over to help out with the event. It was in Cleveland. It's a fashion show. And they asked Jason Kelce, can you come over here and sign this jersey? Now, the jersey was a white Kansas City Chiefs jersey with the likes of Michael Jordan's signature on it, with the likes of, I think it was Jerry Rice's signature
on it. Justin Timberlake.
All these things. So it was going to be the big giveaway in the auction they were going to do for charity. Except it was all fake. It was signed by like Adam Lefko and Travis Kelce, but they wanted to set up Jason Kelce. So they sit it down, they put it down on the table. They say, hey, Jason, would you mind just going over and signing this jersey? We got to take care of something. Just sign this. It's going to be the big giveaway. We got all these signatures on it. So Jason Kelce sits down and he goes to sign it. And a waitress comes over and like just leans over and goes, oh, what a cool jersey. And spills 5 glasses of red wine all over the white jersey. Jason Kelce jumps up out of the seat to avoid the wine and goes, oh my God. And he had nothing to do with the wine spilling. But when Lefko came back in, they were pulling a prank on Jason Kelce. When he came back in, he looked at the waitress and went, what happened? And the waitress goes, oh, well, he moved, pointing at Jason, and hit my arm and I spilled the wine.
Oh, okay.
And you know what Jason Kelce goes? You know what he says? Yep, that's what happened. Yeah, I did. Like, he took full responsibility for blaming, or for the blame of the spilled wine. Yes.
Yeah.
And he even goes on to say, yeah, I thought I was just going to have to bid for the jersey.
He's like, I was just going to, the hell with it, I'll just bid $2,000. There you go. Here's $2,000 for this wine-stained
white
jersey.
That's looking out for someone.
Exactly. The waitress.
He's a center. He's offensive lineman. He looks out for everybody. You see that?
I like that rationale.
I was like, good for him. I'll tell you right.
Responsibility, even if it isn't your fault.
I like the idea that he's just going to throw money and go, I'll donate for the good cause.
Because I have the money.
I still can't wrap my head around
it. I don't want to get this waitress fired. I'll take care of it.
But in what situation have you taken blame where it's been none of your own? And outside of marriage. Like, what situation has it been that you just, nothing to do with you, but you took blame for it?
I can't tell you right now because Jamie's sitting in the other room.
That's interesting.
I've taken blame for him.
For what?
Yeah.
Apparently you can't say.
No, so that prank gone bad then, right? Like, those guys are ready to get it, and then he's like, yeah, it's my fault, and they're like, because I haven't seen it yet either.
You see the look on Jason Kelsey's face, and they got him. They got him pretty good.
Oh, okay.
Because he was embarrassed. And then what was also interesting is that they had, like, a lot of people for that one little prank. But nonetheless, Jason Kelsey just came off as one of the nicest people. And if you've ever met him, he's a great guy.
They had, like, a whole production team for, like, a prank that needed three people. I was like, what's going on here?
This is
going
to be awesome. What are we going to do?
But as far as Jason Kelsey goes on the football field, he said something interesting at the locker room session yesterday. They were asked if a loss to Miami is a wake-up call. And Jason kind of said what you would want him to say, which is, hey, I thought we were already woke, in other words, right? They didn't look like a team that was playing with any sense of urgency.
Mm-mm.
Now, obviously, he's on the defensive or the offensive side of the ball. The defensive side of the ball is, I believe, what cost you that game overall. Jason Kelsey said, yeah, we should have been awake going into that game. But then Jim Schwartz said, this loss is on us as a defense. And I know that we've talked a lot about drops over the course of the year. But when you see a team continue to get beat by the same guy who is lackluster the rest of the way, and you can't find a way to beat that guy, and not only does your defensive coordinator come out and say that loss was our fault, he also comes out and says, of the however many 50-50 balls were thrown up there, we only got to three or four of them.
Yeah, they got four out of 13, I believe.
That they'll give him credit for at least having his players and himself accountable for that loss, but in what are you doing during the course of that game? And I'm the guy that's defended Jim Schwartz. I'm the guy that said, hey, look at the adjustments that he's made throughout the season. What about the in-game adjustments? Because there was no in-game adjustment made on Sunday against the Dolphins. And now we have another familiar foe who has been terrible coming into Philadelphia to start yet again against the Eagles when we thought we saw the last of Eli Manning. Daniel Jones, walking boot, Eli Manning, now most likely starting for the New York Giants on Monday night. Another familiar foe. What are the Eagles going to do to make sure they bounce back, Trey?
I have no idea.
What can they do at this point mentally as a football team to bounce back for the rest of this season?
I don't know. I thought that they were going to handle their business down in Miami, so who knows which team is going to show up.
Is there a get-right game on the schedule?
Miami should have been the get-right game.
Starting now.
And then, okay, you're going to bring Eli in. And this is what concerns me with this whole Eli matchup. Eli is going to get rid of that ball.
Yeah.
He's not going to sit back there and dance around and play around and all that. He's going to take whatever the defense gives you, and he's going to get rid of the ball. So I have absolutely no idea what our defense is going to do. Who knows? Because, I mean, here you go again. Different with an offense that is primed to be just destroyed, but Miami was right there. That was the same exact team down in Miami, so who knows? You had a chance against New England. You had a chance against Seattle. And here we are here. You know, you're definitely supposed to go down there and handle business in Miami, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I'm now looking at this team and I'm saying, okay, there's been some false hope throughout this entire year, and we've overvalued a lot of the talent or lack thereof on this football team. And anytime you lose a game that everyone had you winning going into it, you look at the rest of the schedule and go, there's no gimmies here. We thought there'd be gimmies, no gimmies. We're a gimmeless schedule from this point on. And Adam Schefter even reiterated it yesterday with us, saying that the rest of the schedule is set up for the Eagles to win the division. That only happens if you beat the Cowboys. And I don't see a team that got blown out by the, or a team that got beat up defensively by the Dolphins coming in here and going and beating the Cowboys again.
No, it's hard to imagine. But this Eli talk, maybe I'm wrong. I'm driving home yesterday and I hear that he's going to be the starter. And some people are reacting. Anthony was on. He's like, oh, no. And like, I hear you. Like, oh, God, it could be his last hurrah. This is it. But, James, the thing that popped into my head, I think you have a number. Doesn't Donovan McNabb have more wins head-to-head?
Yes, yes, he does.
What is the...
McNabb, having been retired like 5 or 6 years, had more head-to-head wins than Eli did currently.
Like, in that series. They've owned him against the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I see him coming in and, yeah, doing that quick drop back and dump, but I don't think it's going to work. I think it didn't work. And I'm not this guy, but I think the Eagles win this one.
It's so weird. I have them winning too, but I don't feel great. Yeah, but I don't feel great about it.
You don't have any reason to.
I should feel great about it.
And did you know that the series all time is tied at a deadlock right now? It's like
really?
It's like 85-85-1 all time series, Giants and Eagles. So whoever wins on Monday night will now have the. It could be the first time the Eagles ever had the advantage head to head versus the Giants.
All right, I'll take it.
It's just kind of cool. I mean, I know it's irrelevant in the grand scheme of things, but it's like, I'd like to be better than the Giants head-to-head all time.
Well, the we-all-we-got-we-all-we-need thing, that doesn't really work anymore, so how about just historical stats? Maybe that'll be motivating.
Yeah, whatever.
We have a chance to put a stamp on this
one.
We
need something.
We're winners. And then we'll see what happens in, the last game of the season against the Giants?
Yeah.
There we go. Maybe take a two games lead
That'd
in the
nice.
Series. I'll certainly take it. But I think what it's going to come down to, because it is a totally different team, and you do know them a lot better, and you know the head coach and all that, and he might be coaching for his job, or is coaching for his job. At this point, I don't even think it's salvageable.
No.
But as of right now, you're looking at a squad that you got to come in here in as a divisional game, take care of business to help whatever odds you'll have going forward, especially if it's going to come down to that Cowboys game, which we all know. The writing, it's going to come down to that game. It really, much hasn't changed except our confidence level and our own football team. But when I hear someone like Jason Kelce, to go back to him, when I hear somebody talk about how fast this team can turn it around or whether or not this team is going to have a bounce back game, if that was a wake up call against the Dolphins, it really does make me question the motivation they have going into these games. And I know a lot of people will still look at the Super Bowl year because the Eagles seem to still be in that mode. And as they have wrapped up the last couple of years, they have hit that stride. And we talked about this yesterday. We'll get into it more today. They have hit that stride at the end of the year to push through and get to the end of the season on a good note. Right now, they are at the lowest possible point. Like, even last year, going into the Rams game where Nick Foles took over as quarterback, even last year, you didn't feel like they were at such a low point as they are right now, losing to the Dolphins in Miami, where you had truckloads, plane loads of Eagles fans in that stadium. I can't remember the last time I looked at an Eagles team like this that started out with such potential and such promise, maybe dream team year, and then went to such a low point in their season. And that's the point I'm at right now. Coming off the Dolphins loss is as low as I could feel.
Yeah.
And now you have divisional opponents. Go take care of business.
Bad divisional opponents.
Yeah, but as we said earlier, let's not forget that the Falcons beat the Saints in New Orleans. Like, that happened.
Yeah.
It's a divisional opponent.
Because the NFL's weird.
And there's only further evidence to that. Further evidence, unfortunately. So we'll be covering all this today. Like I said, we got 8 o'clock. We just have Aaron McKee, 8:30. We have Matt Gelb, 9 o'clock. We have Mark Jackson. Coming up in a minute, we're going to let you hear from that locker room. We'll let you hear from the defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz, who a lot of people, after that Miami Dolphins loss, put right back on the hot seat, right back in the boiling hot water. We'll also hear from Jason Kelce as to whether or not this team is awoke. Coming up for this weekend, or excuse me, Monday night's game against the Giants. So much to get to today. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. And Trey, I know we're going to have another installment of Trench Talk a little bit later today.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're going to be focusing on, we have their defensive line.
No, our defense versus their offense.
Our defense versus their offense.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one team, if there's one unit that I feel like has played well, but doesn't really have the stats to back it up, it is the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
We know how they've been getting off the line of scrimmage. We know how they've been beating guys in front of them. But the only thing people care about is sacks. That's the only thing. Even going back to your man Juan Castillo when he took over the defense, they were getting after the quarterback. They just didn't have sacks.
Yeah.
This would be a good game hopefully, this is a good game when you talk about proving it as a defensive line with how fast a guy like Eli Manning can get rid of the football. If they get after him, if they're able to bring him down a couple of times, I think that would help a lot of people's confidence.
Well, I don't want to crush you right now, but in the two games that he played, he was on the site one time.
Yeah, that's about right. That's what I'm saying. You look at him, you think he's an easy guy to bring down, but he gets rid of that football.
He's only been sacked once, but he's had, I believe, 19 throws at feet of running backs in the backfield. Intentional groundings.
He doesn't like to get hit.
Yeah, definitely that.
Yeah.
Well, what did Ryan Fitzpatrick do against this defense? Spike the football. Yeah. On more than one occasion, he got rid of it. I'd like to see them be able to get to the guy coming up this Monday night. 610-632-0975. Sam, we will do the Twitter poll. Did you hear it earlier? We didn't have a meeting on it. But basically, when it comes to Zach Wheeler, how do you feel about it? Is it excited, happy, or meh? That's what we're going to go with today. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic 621.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
6 o'clock hour brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC for all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area. Visit unitedrentals.com. Real quick, before we get back to the Eagles locker room, Zach Wheeler, 5 years, $118 million, $23 million per. I did the math for you. You're welcome.
Just slightly beats out Patrick Corbin's average annual.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
The other part of this is, where's Patrick Corbin pitch again?
The division.
That'd be the division.
Yeah. The NL East is going to be
the World Series champions.
The World Series, yeah. Yeah. That's really, people are coming down on me for being, I don't feel like I'm being negative. I'm just not as excited as I am with, as other people are. And the early goings of our Twitter poll indicate that most people are with me.
Yeah, I'm there. I hear you. I totally understand where you're coming from. And I was that way too. I was like, okay, good. But the more I read up on him, and the more that I think, you know, coming off the Tommy John surgery, now he's had two healthy years to throw, and his velocity is what it is. And I think this is like a 29-year-old with a 26-year-old arm whose better years are ahead of him. So I've gone from happy more towards excited.
77 starts over 5 years.
Why does that Tommy John surgery make the pitcher's arms stronger?
It's ridiculous. I don't know, but young kids are getting it on purpose now.
Uh-huh. I've heard one person describe it as a reset button on your elbow.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like, basically what it does is
all the wear
and tear you've put on as like a 9-year-old throwing curveballs, which is not a good idea.
No.
Well, I mean, who am I to say? This guy's just made $118 million. What the hell do I know about anything?
You want an exciting stat? I'll try and get you excited.
Okay.
all right, Bob, I believe you had the numbers right in front of you this morning.
One request.
Yeah.
Don't look me in my eyes and then tell me you're going to make me excited. It's really
apologies.
Weird.
Apologies. It's weird now.
What's up, buddy?
Over the last 3 years, the Phillies have had 40 times a pitcher eclipse 96 miles an hour in their starting rotation. And it's mostly been Vince Velasquez. Over that same time frame, Zach Wheeler has eclipsed 96 miles an hour over 1,100 times.
Great velocity. Absolutely great velocity.
Flamethrower does nothing for you?
Nothing's going to wow him today.
Wow.
No, because velocity's great, and I appreciate it. But then how come it's one half of the year he's a Cy Young candidate, the other half of the year? Because he's the Mets?
He's had like six different catchers up there. He gets no run support.
Well,
it's the Mets.
Okay.
I'll put it towards the surgery. So basically, like you said, or whoever's, you're pitching with a new arm almost.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think part of it could be him figuring out, okay, this new arm, how do I go? Where am I going? What's happening with my pitches?
Mm-hmm.
It takes a half a year. Okay, I figured it out. Takes a half a year. Okay, now I figured it out. That's why I think his better years are ahead of him.
I certainly the Phillies are betting on that as well.
Yeah,
with a five-year deal. Yeah, so Tommy John surgery, as you said, Bob, 2015, came back, and his comeback was actually delayed in 2016. Then he got $800,000 in arbitration, Trey. That's what he put in his back pocket in 2017. Now he's a $118 million player. Good for him.
There
the man
go.
Put in the work in the offseason. The man put in the work in rehab and all that stuff. Good for him. And now he's an $118 million man. I think it works out. I think he's going to be a very good pitcher for the Phillies. I don't want to get too ahead of myself without seeing the rest of the moves that they make. But bottom line is right now I'm happy the Phillies made that deal. And yes, I would have made the deal for Cole Hamels. For a one-year deal, the way you got to think of it is Michael Franco and Cesar Hernandez for Cole Hamels. And I would do that. Because that's the money that they saved in arbitration. $18 million, and according to Cole Hamels, yeah, the Phillies were, they were pretty good on it. But here, let's get to the Eagles locker room. This is Jason Kelce at his locker yesterday, Trey. And I want you to listen to this and translate it for me, because this team does need some kind of wake-up call. And I thought Jason Kelce would be the guy to already be awakened or awoke, whatever it might be. Here he is yesterday at his locker room.
I mean, I think, you know, I like to say that we've been awake. I think that, you know, everybody knows the situation. You know, obviously, you know, didn't get it done last week, which is very disappointing. But you know, I think that, you know, obviously the emphasis on, you know, winning now and winning each and every game from here on out. You know, the time is of the essence. You know, we got to do this now.
Does he not sound like Big Red?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh my God.
He's got the raspy Big Red voice thing going.
Yeah, no, he definitely does.
Yeah.
And a lot of uhs and stalls, just like Big Red.
But when he's asked about losing to the Dolphins as a wake-up call...
I'd like to think we're already awake.
And he says that, but you haven't looked it.
No.
Look, we all know the offense wasn't the problem on Sunday against the Dolphins. The defense was, and we'll hear from Jim Schwartz in 1 second. But with Kelce saying that, the whole team has not been able to put a game together in 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost 3 games in a row in a time where they were supposed to at least win one of those games.
Yeah.
we were hoping they would split against the Patriots and the Seahawks, and then they go on and say, hey, let's put a cherry on top and make it 3 in a row and lose to the Dolphins.
And all of them with 3 home games, pretty much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of them was in nice weather.
Yeah.
The middle one, not so much.
Yeah.
The one against the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do to better prepare yourself mentally now for the rest of the season, knowing that every single game is... Like, we talked about a must-win game in, what, week 3? These are the real must-win games. Because you didn't win any of those alleged must-win games, this is a must-win. These are all must-win games now.
Yeah. So what you would do, you know, and it's one of those things that you're going to hear a lot of coaches say, all right, we need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to the basics. And really, you have to get back to the basics. There's a lot of stuff that probably should have been corrected in training camp that you need to go back over and say, all right, you know what? This is what we need to do to make ourselves better. For one, as an offensive unit, we need to make sure that we're flattening the penetrator, make sure that we're switching off these games a little bit better. Let's handle our business when it comes to protecting our quarterback. Give him a chance, you know. You can't go out there against a team that's one of the worst in the game in pass rushing and give up any sacks or quarterback hits. They need to get back to running the ball. When you look at it on the defensive side of the ball, you know, you got to detail your work when you're saying, all right, with the coverage, making sure that you're there. Also, when it comes to pass rush, if you're running games, make sure that your stance is reflecting of what you want to do as your pass rush. A lot of times when I was talking about before, and I meant to get a clip so I could tweet it out, is that, you know, you want to make sure that you're not giving away what you're doing. If it's a game, make sure that your stance, everything about you doesn't say, hey, it's about to be a game. Don't give it away by your stance. And then also, too, if you're going to blitz, make sure that, like I was talking yesterday, one of the blitzes that Malcolm Jenkins came around, he was a little too wide. Instead of just coming right off the backside of the defensive end, he would have been there in time instead of being a little bit wider. But that's the difference of when you have guys that aren't going full speed in practice, where if you had somebody going full speed in practice, you would have known, okay, I can go a little bit tighter. Instead, you're running that wider route, and then now you're off. You know, so there are things that need to be correct. You got to go back to the basics. And even, I think, I can't even think of his name, but he said, like, look, we just went vanilla. Like, let's just go vanilla defense. And they still went 6 for 6 in the air. So
Schwartz, you mean?
Yeah, Schwartz.
Okay. All right. Speaking of Jim Schwartz, at least the man takes accountability. This is Jim Schwartz yesterday at his news conference talking about how this defense knows they took it on the chin against the Dolphins.
I really think that was such a critical point in that game. That just gave them life. You know, they were able to make that play. The quarterback threw a 50-50 ball up there, and, you know, they made it. We didn't. But not only not they made it, but they scored a touchdown, and that gave them life to get back into the game. And that's up to us. I mean, that game is 100% on the defense. You know, we always feel if you give us 20 points, we should win the game. And we certainly got more than 20. We didn't do our jobs in that game. And as a result, we got a loss.
I've given a lot of credit for making adjustments throughout the season. That was a game where you needed adjustments within the game, and you didn't see any adjustments from the defense.
I mean, they tried to blitz. You know, you tried to, you know, throw a little bit at him, and, you know, you kept trying to switch up the game. Now, one of the things I noticed is that, you know, when the right the left tackle went out, you know, one of the things that Miami kind of switched up is that they started going 2-point. They got out of that 3-point stance a little bit, even though they handled setting out of a 3-point stance pretty well. But they were, you know, Fitzpatrick just started getting rid of the ball a little bit quicker. He saw the blitz coming, and he just went right over their heads with it.
All right, coming up in a minute, we'll jump back into the conversation about Zach Wheeler, see what else the Phillies could be doing in the not-too-distant future, and also give an update on our Twitter poll. Time of the Fanatic is 6:41.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Got to give you credit, Jamie, because now this is rattling around in my head. I heard this in the 5 o'clock hour. Trey, I think you were working on some tracks. Did you hear the discussion in the 5 o'clock hour with Bob and Jamie?
No.
Side boob.
Side boob?
Well, side boob tattoos.
That's awesome.
I'm sorry, did it start with side boob?
It did. Could be my side boob.
Jamie's going to get a 97.5 side boob tat.
If somebody's willing to pay, I'll get a side boob tat.
Hey, are you a team player?
Don't say that, Jamie. You know,
I'm just trying. I totally wouldn't.
Yeah, people will put a GoFundMe account out there. You walking around here with side boob
tats. I'll start it. I'd love to see him get a side
boob. I'm going to be a friend here. I'm going to be like, Jamie, don't do it.
No, I won't. But it'd be great if my wife would leave me and my daughter would be ashamed.
Yeah. If we put a picture on our website, we get a lot of clicks.
Yeah. Do it for the traffic.
Do it for the... By the way, I got to find it again to give the man credit, but my favorite response to our Twitter poll, and we'll get the update right here, has been he's going to suck in the first half and Jamie will be hurt. Oh, yeah, that might sums it up. And then the second half will happen and Jamie will feel cured. How are people feeling, Sam?
We asked, when it comes to Zach Wheeler, how do you feel about it? Excited, happy, or meh? We have just under 700 votes. 45% say happy.
45% say happy. So 45% are with me.
Yeah.
That's cool. Thank you.
And then the other two are pretty close. 26% say excited. 29% say meh.
See, the meh deal, I don't get it. You made an upgrade. Like, even me, who's like, okay, what's next? That type of thing. That's not a meh feeling. I'm still happy that they made the upgrade. I don't know how you could go meh with a deal like this.
All right, you're happy, but are you closer to meh in your happiness, or are you closer to excited in your happiness?
Let's get inside your brain.
No, because I feel you're closer to meh.
Yeah, because I look at the uphill climb that's still happening right here. And people are saying that's obvious on our social media here, but... With all the acquisitions that have happened in Philadelphia recently, like Al Horford's worked out so far. And we're not even close to the real home stretch of this season, obviously. He's still in the first half of this season. So, yeah, I guess you know what I am? I'm a scorned lover, is what I am. Uh-huh. I'm looking at all these other acquisitions, and I'm going, ha-ha, these are going to be great. And now it's just like, yeah, okay.
Well, let's prove. That's the definition of meh.
That is, yeah. But I'm so happy that they made the deal. I'm happy today.
I think you're trying to convince yourself.
No, there's no convincing.
Trey, he's on
I'm
the
convinced.
He's on the
I'm convinced that I am happy. I'm a happy person, damn it. Let's get, you know who's a very happy person? Vincente. What's up, Vincente?
Hola, Mark Porcena.
Hola, amigo.
Buenos días.
What's up?
Buenos días.
¿Qué tal?
Hey, I'm so excited. It was so wonderful to see you last night.
Great to see you, my friend.
You know, at the taping of Philly Pew, we, the listeners, are going against the more experts in the sports. I won't give away the outcome, but we are top. What do you say?
What was the question? I don't understand what you're asking me. I'm sorry.
Okay. The question about our knowledge, the listeners, you know, the callers versus the host.
Yes.
Who are sports commentators. You're supposed to be a knowledge well full of, you know, knowledge.
Yeah. You know what we weren't good at? Reading Mike's mind, unfortunately. When it came to just knowing the sports stuff, we had that.
And I have memory problems, so.
Hey, I wanted to ask your opinion about the acquisition and signing of Tremont Smith as the cornerback released from the Green Bay Packers. What do you think it will do any good to the Eagles? We're needing somebody to replace that role.
No, I think as far as their secondary goes, if you're talking about making an upgrade there, they're going to, unfortunately, this theory applies to them, this saying applies to them. They all they got, they all they need as far as that goes.
Okay, what do you think the outcome is going to be with the Giants putting Eli Manning back again in there?
The Eagles are going to win. I think the Eagles are going to win this game.
Same thing against Miami.
Yeah, we did, but I'm not going to say they do that twice. I'm not going to say. I think they win. Do I feel extremely confident about it? No. But I see them beating the Giants. And see, like, because they lost to the Dolphins, it doesn't mean they're going to lose for the rest of the season.
Exactly. No. The Eagles will soar and fly again very high.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it.
All right, Vincente. Great seeing you, buddy. Have a wonderful day, buddy. Appreciate you. He brought a bird with him last night. Oh, excuse me. He brought an eagle with him.
A live eagle?
What? No, it was a statue, but still, he brought it with him.
Okay.
It was a nice prop to have on set. So there was that. No, the Eagles aren't going to make any. There's no acquisition here that makes you go, wow. I mean, no one's looking at them as a team that's going to make that big acquisition. That's kind of dead in the water. The only thing that they're going to be doing from this point on is really addition by subtraction. Hey, look. If they do make that thing that we said is the dirty word, right? If they do that, maybe you get the Deshaun.
The P word.
The P word. Maybe you make it to that thing, and all of a sudden a guy like Deshaun Jackson can come back. The outlook's a little bit different, but that's so far down the line right now. It really does feel like the end of the season is light years away from where we are right now. It just seems like there's such a long road ahead of where the Eagles are right now to try to plow through and really give you any hope for the postseason.
Yeah.
And the people didn't even want to talk about it. Like, we wouldn't even entertain the idea on Monday, and rightfully so, because I even saw people tweeting about it on social media saying, I don't even want to hear about they're still alive, and we didn't talk about it.
No.
But we do have to entertain reality at some point. As the week has gone on, we've done that. But nobody looks at this team right now and goes, oh, yeah, they got this.
Well, you know why? And Kelsey's comments kind of brought this to my head yesterday. He said, awakening? Like, we were awake. You know, what are you talking about? Okay, he says they're awake, and he's right. And the coaches say they were prepared, and it looks like they may have been a little bit in that they were where they were supposed to be. They didn't make plays. Does it start to creep into the players' minds, maybe Kelsey's mind a little bit, without coming out and saying that, yeah, we're awake and we're prepared. We're just not good enough.
Mm-hmm. That's the haunting thing.
And yesterday when he was talking, I'm thinking, is he in the back of his mind, is he looking at the reporter saying, see what I'm saying here? We are not that good. We're awake.
Mm-hmm.
We're prepared. We're not that good.
That is so
worrisome.
And
if that's the reality that's creeping into players, and maybe it's already been there, well, then they are who we think they are.
Mm-hmm.
To go back and grab another.
It's haunting, is what it is. It's haunting.
Yeah.
To think about a team that had so much potential and was talked about as being
that's a buzzkill.
And was being as a team that was being so deep, is they look razor thin right now.
Yeah, Trey, I don't know if you've always been wildly successful in all the teams you played on, so this probably never happened to you. But there are times, you know, in talking to coaches and talking to players, whether it be college or pro, whatever, that you're on a team that you think is good, and then reality creeps in at some point, and you're like, we're just not that good. We're not as good as we thought we are, and maybe, just maybe, that's crept into the Eagles' locker room.
Well, I doubt. I don't know. I guess as a player, you always focused on what's the next thing. What's the next thing? So you don't really take a look at the really big picture. So it's.
But they are who we thought they were.
Yeah. So that's what you look at when you, and there are so many things that you could correct.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do to correct it, though? And it's the same stuff that's been causing problems for 2 years now. So what are you doing?
Yeah, well, maybe they're just not that good.
I would agree with that, Bob.
Yeah.
That's the point that you can keep going back to, because they're just not that good.
We've heard coach. I mean, we've all interviewed coach, talked to coach all 2 years, and we've heard coaches come out every once in a while and say, yeah, this team's just not as good as I thought they were. Like Kelsey's comments yesterday, I was really thinking, is that in the back of his mind? Is he not saying what he's really thinking?
A loss to the Dolphins will mess you up, man.
No question.
But even Doug Peterson, even Jim Schwartz, they're all looking at this team as if there's so much more work to be done.
Mike Groh looks like a zombie up there. He looks like a guy that knows he's getting fired.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was standing up there, and he just had no answers. He was just like, you know, I think it was Les that grilled him about Matt Collins. Like, why did he play so much if you were
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.